Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson, and this is another commentary and analysis on In Defense of Being Average. These commentaries, I discuss the research, ideas, inspiration, and stupid stories that go into creating these articles that hopefully you love and enjoy so much. And this one in particular, I love so much. This is one of my favorite articles from the last year, maybe on the entire site, and It really came about. This article was very much inspired by reader emails and questions, but it was inspired indirectly. It really didn't come from any specific questions that I was asked. Let me put it this way. It wasn't inspired by specific problems readers were having and emailing me about. Rather, it came from kind of, I guess, the mindset that a lot of readers who were emailing me were coming from. What I mean by that is that I started to notice that a sizable percentage of the people who would email me with their problems or looking for advice, I would say probably 30 to 40% of them, I would read it and I would just be like, dude, that's normal life. Like, why is this such a big deal? And I started to realize that the reason these people perceived these problems to be such huge problems is that the problem was with their expectations. They didn't actually have any real problems in their life. The problem was that their expectation was that they weren't supposed to have, or that things were supposed to be way, way better than what they were. And this went on. I mean, this has kind of gone on for years now. And I always understood this, and it was kind of in the back of my mind. And it wasn't until about a year ago that I started doing a lot of research on like media culture, and just how we're affected on how like happiness and stress and anxiety and things like that are affected on a population level. And it started to kind of occur to me that a lot of this is probably a function of what we're exposed to so much. You know, there was a popular meme out there for a few years, and it's still kind of popular, but basically that like millennials are entitled and self-absorbed and think they deserve way more than they do. And, you know, without diving too deep into that rabbit hole, I mean, there is some truth there. I don't agree completely with all the stuff that's been said about millennials the past 5 years, but there is a nugget of truth there. But I would just argue that truth, that sense of entitlement or the feeling that people feel that they deserve something that they haven't earned, I would argue that that's happening across the entire population. It's just much more apparent in millennials, because the millennials are the most connected and they're the ones who are eating up most of the attention. But anyway, I kind of started to see this connection between, you know, these unrealistic expectations of what life was supposed to be like, and then what life was actually like, and how that seems to be a really new phenomenon. It seems to be a real cultural issue just in the last 10 years or so. And when you look at the rise of technology and media, particularly with the internet and social media, it kind of became hard to not notice the parallels, the connection going on there. And if you think about it, it's kind of obvious. And this article basically just breaks down that argument, that this kind of unreasonable expectations for our own lives comes from the fact that we are constantly bombarded with the most extreme and extraordinary things going on within society. And so the extraordinary becomes the new standard for ordinary. And because pretty much all of us are not extraordinary at any given time, we have one of two things that can happen. Either A, we feel like total losers constantly, or B, we lie to ourselves and convince ourselves that we're extraordinary even though we're not. And there's at least a lot of the data is debatable, but there's quite a bit of data out there about levels of narcissism within the population, particularly the younger generations, that has been growing over the last 30 or 40 years. The primary researcher behind that is, I believe, is Gene Twenge, She's even written a book about it. But some people disagree with her or think that some of her research is shoddy. But you see this in a lot of other places. I mean, anxiety disorders have gone up quite a bit. Depression has gone up quite a bit. And you see a lot of these kind of extreme people acting out in extreme ways to leverage media for attention. So, you know, everything from school shootings to terrorism to, you know, stupid shit like Kanye West, you know, running up on stage when he didn't win an award. These sorts of things seem to be coming more commonplace within the culture and more expected. You know, you would never see something like that 30 or 40 years ago. And it's because that there was really no advantage. The same advantages for doing that weren't in place 30 or 40 years ago. The attention and adulation and perception that you're doing something extraordinary wasn't available at that time. So people didn't focus on it so much. So I really like how this article breaks down the argument. I think, you know, if I do say so myself, I think I did a pretty good job of arguing why this is happening and why it's a problem and what we should be doing instead. This article is also, I made a point to, you know, I'm recording this a year later, but this summer I started to really kind of consciously try to include a lot more imagery, and things like graphs and, because part of that is just inspired. Like when I think of this stuff, I think very visually. When I read about this stuff or kind of come up with these ideas, like I see the bell curve in my head and I see, different like bar graphs and stuff in my head. And so I thought I could just play with, trying to translate that into the article and, apparently it did pretty well. I think this was one of the more popular articles of 2015. It didn't go super viral, but, it definitely outperforms. It was definitely above average in terms of, you know, how many people read it, shared it, commented on it. And, little known fun fact is this article is actually a little bit of a sequel to another article I wrote, in 2013. And that article is called Being Special is Not So Special. And I love that article. Being Special is Not So Special it was one of those articles on the site that was kind of written for myself. And if you're curious about that, you can go listen to that commentary. But I really love that article. But as the years kind of went on, I realized that Being Special, it was too personal. Like it, because it was written so much for myself and my own kind of struggles with accepting that I wasn't extraordinary in all these different ways, I kind of felt like it didn't get the attention it deserved or the, you know, that people were kind of, it didn't grab people the way it should have. And so I always kind of, well, not always, but, you know, about a year later, I was like, you know, I should take another stab at this subject, but I should do it in like a bigger way that more people can relate to. And this is what kind of ended up resulting. So the ideas behind this article really evolved over a year or two. Like I had this article in mind for a long time. I was aware of a lot of the research that went into it for a long time. It just kind of, it needed a year or two to kind of take shape and form in my head correctly. And then I believe when I sat down to write it, it came out pretty quickly. But yeah, there's quite a few books and literature out there that's kind of touches on the same themes of a lot of this stuff. There's a book I read a long time ago that was actually written about television and talked about a lot of the same problems in terms of like television having 400 channels and all this stuff. It was called Amusing Ourselves to Death. It's by Neil Postman. And I think his book focuses less on, you know, being extraordinary. I mean, his book came out in the early 90s, and because television is such a passive form of media, I think his focus was much more on just like people are not living lives for themselves anymore. They're living lives vicariously through characters and celebrities and news that they find on television, and all the like the dangers and stuff like that. I think all of the stuff that he talked about in his book are still present today, but you kind of have this added, because the internet is an interactive medium, you now have this added dimension of people are not only like living vicariously through all the attention and celebrity pop culture stuff online, but now they're able to participate in it and try to manipulate, you know, kind of put their own personal brand out there to try to like take part in it. And I think that kind of adds a whole new dimension of, you know, psychologically fucking ourselves up. All that said, I'm still like super optimistic about the internet and super bullish on it. It's just, I guess what I try to express with articles like this, because I feel like out there, there's kind of two schools of thought, and you have like the techno utopist people, Silicon Valley tech startup people who believe that technology and like a new apps are going to fix everything in our lives. And I just find that to be unrealistic and, probably an exaggeration. And then you have kind of these like Luddites, these old fogies, who think that the internet's ruining culture and that computers are, you know, destroying the human soul, and, you know, people get pissed off that kids are reading books on Kindles instead of buying paper books and blah, blah, blah. And I also find that to be unrealistic and just kind of silly. I try to find a middle ground. I think technology is fantastic. I think our lives are undeniably better than they used to be. I just think that with every new leap in technology, it introduces new, more complex problems into our psychology and our culture. And I think that's all we're seeing. You know, it's like the printing press, without a doubt, pushed humanity forward, but it introduced more complex problems into society. Television and radio, without a doubt, improved the quality of life for humanity, but it also introduced a lot of new psychological issues and cultural problems into society. And I think we're just experiencing the same thing here, that all these problems that people talk about, there is legitimacy to it, but it's simply the drawbacks of all the benefits that we get from this new technology. So anyway, a little bit of a tangent there. Hope you liked the article. I think it's pretty badass. And this one definitely, it has some longevity behind it. I'd say 10% of the articles on the site, or to put it the other way, about 90% of the articles on the site, they get read a lot, like the first couple weeks, the first month, and then they kind of just die off. Like, I mean, they still get read, but like, it's the amount of traffic is way, way, way less, than new articles or other like the more popular articles on the site. This article is definitely one of the 10% that like, it just holds up, just continues to get shared and emailed out and discussed at like a pretty fair rate. So yeah, I'm happy with it.